Declaration and Wealth. Rabbi Nizal says, "Lefa'omim tzorich ha'odom sheyi aloi gadlus." Now the fact this Torah, the introduction to this Torah is the fact that you have, if you look in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, there's a siman in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and in the big Shulchan Aruch where it discusses hisnag, this basic things, a manner in which a person should conduct himself, midais, certain things that a person should not have too much of, certain things that a person shouldn't have too little of. To be charitable, not to be kas, not to be noyach lichais, but to be noyach lirtzais, all these different items. There, the kitzer, in one paragraph, he begins by saying that every single midah that exists in the world, a person is supposed to have some aspect of it, some quantity of it. Certain things you're supposed to try to have a lot of, certain things a little of, but it's very rare that we say zero. There's one midah where we say that this item is so bad that pretty much the rule for that is zero. A person is not permitted to have any aspect of it whatsoever. And that midah is called gaiva, geus, arrogance. Now, obviously, if a person recalls the Gemara in Saita that we had, in the beginning of Masechta Saita, the Gemara spends about two or three blot of Gemara discussing this one word, gaiva versus anova. And there the Gemara says that for an ordinary person, for a regular person, that rule is total, it's all-encompassing. There's no room whatsoever, there's no opening whatsoever for any aspect of gaiva. The Gemara says there that there is an exception. What's the exception, Peretz? What's the word? Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says the exception is a Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara says there he's permitted to and he's required to have a certain degree. And the Gemara there discusses different variations of what that degree is. The outstanding statement there is Shmini Shebishminis, an eighth of an eighth. That's the wording of Masechta Saita. Now we had many times, you once said, Rabbi Zal spent a whole 45-minute shiur explaining that term, an eighth of an eighth. It's not for now, but we're going to touch on that. You figure we've said everything that's to be said on that. We're going to touch on that related to this Torah Likutei Moharan also. Rabbi Nizal says, "Lefa'omim at times tzorech ha'odom sheyi aloi gadlus." A person is required to have gadlus. Kamo shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, that King Yehoshaphat once said, "Vayigba libay." The pasuk says about him, "Vayigba libay bedarkei Hashem." He lifted up his heart about his service of Hashem. He had a gaelus in his heart regarding serving Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal says this aspect of Vayig Baliba B'Darkei Hashem can help a person as much as a fast can help a person. Rabbi Nizal explains, Ki kishe tzorich lavoi lahasoga, when a person has to arrive at a certain level of understanding, v'la'alois la'eza madrega, and he wants to rise up to a certain level and coming close to Hashem, azai tzorich lishkoyach es chochmosoi shemikoidim, the person must forget the wisdom that he had up until that point. There must be a yerida, let's say rochalia. Yerida means an emptying out process. First you have day. Day symbolizes the sechel, correct? The oyer hashemesh. Then before you can have the next day, you have to have a night in between. Night is darkness, cheshech, sleep, hedar hadas, histalkus hadas. There has to be a histalkus hadas before there can be a chadoshim labikorim rabo emunasecha, a hischatshus in emuna. There first has to be a histalkus hadas. Hischatshus in emuna means hischatshus in sechel. The tachlis of sechel is emuna. Kol mitzvay sechel emuna. That's the peak of sechel. Before you can have a new climb to a new level in sechel, in emuna, in avoda, you have to have a histalkus first. You have to have a removal of the oyer. You have to have, a person has to forget his chachma of before. Lishkoyach, cheshech. Ukemoy shemotzinu, and as the Gemara says in Bab Metziah, Shrabi Zeira, hisame kedei lishkoyach Talmud Bavli. Rabbi Zeira, when he decided that he was going to leave Bavel and climb up, rise up to Eretz Yisrael, to go to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says he spent 40 days fasting to be zeicher, to forget what he had learned up until that point. At that point, he was preparing to rise up to a new level of Hasaga, a higher level of Hasaga. Shehi Torah Eretz Yisrael, which was the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. But, period. Therefore, he had to forget his wisdom of before. Does this mean literally to erase from his mind all his knowledge of halacha, shulchan aruch, so he shouldn't know whether to put on tzitzis in the morning or not? That's silly, that's stupid to say. Obviously, this doesn't mean necessarily in simple physical terms. It means a bechina of a histalkus hadas, a bechina of clearing all the registers in your head to prepare to receive new chachma, to prepare to receive new sechel. A bechina of anova, going into a yerida, a state of yerida, a state of anova, a state of katnus, a state of pshitas. Rabbi Nezal, before he was zeichet enter into Eretz Yisrael, he had to lower himself in an incredible manner, incredible pshitas, run around like a child without a jacket and everything he described. And he said it was because he was so good at this that he was zeichet to succeed where even the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh failed, because he wasn't able to bring himself down to the level of katnus that was needed for a person of his status to be able to enter into such a high level hasaga. Rabbi Nezal says, "V'hagadlus mayel kemayah hatainus," and this gadlus helps the person as much as a fast would help the person in the same manner. Kialidei hagadlus sheicheach gam kenes chachmosay, because through gadlus a person also forgets his chachma. We said that here Rabbi Zera fasted, and that helped him forget his chachma. We know that through gadlus, through gaiva, a person also forgets his chachma. Because the Gemara says in Psachim, there are two sentences that are next door neighbors to each other in Psachim. The Gemara says, kol ha-koyes chachmosa mistalat esminenu, which we were talking about yesterday. The next door neighbor in Psachim is kol ha-mizgoe chachmosa mistalat esminenu. A person who has gaiva also loses his chachma. Which means his chachma leaves him. This vacuum is created that allows for a new level chachma, a higher level. Rabbi Nezal says, "Ach tzorich lozeh chachma yisera," but this requires a lot of seichel. Ki bevadai gadlus hu isur godol ma'oid, because certainly, unquestionably, gadlus is a fantastic isur. It's extremely osur. Ve'im yizkoe be'emes, and if a person will have an actual feeling of haughtiness, bevadai chochmosoi tistalik mimenu legamri, then certainly his chochmo leave him completely in a damaging way. And he won't be able to come to any new hasog, any higher level. And the person will become a shaita mamish. What's the definition of shaita? Of shaita? One who loses what's given to him. He had chachma, he'll lose it, he'll be shaita mamish. Person who forgets. He give him a briefcase to take along, he loses it. He forgets where he is, what he is. Ach tzorich lozeh umnes yisera. Rabbi Nezal says, but for this, a person needs tremendous talent. Eich lehisnaig was it, to be able to know how to conduct himself in this. Sheyihye gadlus, he should have an aspect of gadlus, rak kidei lishkoyach chochmosoi shemikoidim, and only use that gadlus, not to use it towards his fellow man, chas v'shalom or anything like that, but to only use it for the purpose of enabling him to forget his chochma from before, which he has to forget in order to be able to get to this new hasaga, and be able to simultaneously at the same time be an onov be'emes. This takes tremendous seichel. To have this godless, which is necessary for getting to a new hasaga, and yet to have it just to the extent where he uses it to be able to help him forget, to go into a bechina of shikha, just enough to get to the new level of asaga, and at the same time be considered an onov be'emes, a total onov, 100% onov. Mm-hmm. Baruch Hashem.
What's the eventual goal, to get the highest emes?
Here in this Torah, the goal is to get to constantly climb from one level to the next level in hasagas and avodas Hashem, and understanding Hashem. To keep going higher and higher. And each time you want to go higher, you have to know before you go up, there has to be a concept of a clearing of the registers, a concept of going down, a concept of night before you can get to the next day.
So which level would that represent that would climb? The Hakma would be?
From one level to the next, period. Any two levels. Only from one level to the next. I can explain to you where, excuse me for a second, where Moses Al-Sizm could be a Lachis. that going from one world to, I'll show it to you as far as the whole unit of Sphira, is going from one world to the next. Within one unit of Sphira, the person climbs until they get to the Chochma Bina Das, within a world, which is the level of Seichel. I've gotten to Seichel. Before I can get to the Seichel of the next world, what's the first thing I have to do? Go into the Malchus of the next world. What's the Malchus? The Levona, the moon, no light at all. I have to go switch back to Emunah again. Back to Emunah. Ve'emunascha balelos. Before I can go to a new level of Chachma, Torah, which is symbolized by the day, I have to go into this state of Emunah, this Cheshech, this Shikha, of the Chino Shikha. Ve'emunascha balelos. It's Laila, it's darkness in a sense, through which I get to the next level of Oyer, the next level of life.
I thought this Mechina Vayigma Livo Dake Hashem. Is like, I don't see how, because of that, a person should lose his chacha, but it's just a person.
You don't see how? It's a beferisha gemara in Psachim. There's a gemara in Psachim that says that vayigba means chachmas in mistalakis.
No.
Yes or no? One second. Yes or no?
I don't know.
Why not?
It says that pasuk.
The gemara says that kol hamizgoye chachmas in mistalakis. Geus means to rise, chometz. Geus means haughty, high up, elevated, lofty headed. Right? There's a Gemara that says that any aspect of that generates a chachmas b'nistalakis. Now the question is, if the Torah says in one place, vayigbali b'vidarki Hashem, and it seems to praise that, how could we praise that? If the Gemara says that, that'll cause a nistalakis of chachma. Rabbi Nizal shows you here that you should know that there's a time when you need this istakas of Chachma. There was a rabbi in the Gemara, Rabbi Zera, who wanted to get to a new level of Chachma, and he was zeichet to understand that he couldn't get to the new level without cleaning out the, without forgetting the old level. Now, what's your question?
A common person like Hashem, he doesn't, he's not able to see exactly, when it's necessary to lose, not like happens automatically. In other words, sometimes he has to do business, he has to do something.
That's the Likud Halachas. Rabbi Zal used to say, this is one item that I remember from him that I really appreciate in a sense. Rabbi Zal, when you would talk about the kavanas of Tefillah Shachris, the kavanas that the Arizal brings, what takes place when a person says the karbona is taken for the Olam HaSir, and he explained exactly how it goes into effect, the different chapters, the Ketores, the Tomid, what each one does. Then the Psukei Bezimra, you climb into the Yetzirah, and he explained what and how, and holding the Tzitzis in your hand, the Baruch Shomar, all the different things. But then the next level, Tzitzis is Yetzirah, Chaynam, Amal HaShem, Sovid, Lireya, there's a whole, there's proofs, the Arizal shows the whole sequence. And Rabbi Zal used to say that the big tzaddikim are mechaven these kavanos from the Davin Shachris in order to generate all these things. Are they the only ones who can generate it? Definitely not. Any Jew who goes about Davin Shachris with tmimus, with shittus, on his own level, understanding perush ha'milos, and conducting himself according to halacha, these items happen automatically, are generated automatically. If so, what's the difference between the big tzaddik and the tamim? Answers, and his madrega, and his madrega. Understand? Within his madrega, all of these things are going to be generated automatically by themselves. So to hear, if a person goes about his avodas Hashem between us and the pshitas, and he follows the eitzes of Rabbi Nizal, that at times when he feels very down, he's mechazik himself. This concept of ayin baliboy means a lechino v'schaskus, being able to tell myself, I'm not totally bad, I could find some tov within myself. And that's a bechina of geus. He's saying something good about himself, so he's praising himself in a sense. But he's doing it purely with good intention, not gaiva, not ugly gaiva. He's doing it the right way. That will automatically affect this item that's needed in order to get to the next level of the sun. Understand?
So those for us, it's more his chaskos at certain times. That's
definitely,
the point.
Definitely, a feeling of taking pride in a certain very, 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 very minimal level. This is a private feeling. If this is shown to his friends in any kind of way, it's tome, it's avi avi satoma. This is a purely personal, way, way inside. Chizuk that he gives to himself, that he says to himself, that he's marami tzchus on himself, and when he does a mitzvah, he takes a certain satisfaction inside. Again, he would never show it to his friend, display this kind of attitude, this vayig balibay to his friends or anything like that. Purely a private feeling, an internal kind of feeling. aspect, how do you correlate before? You said here that you need God, you know, by putting on this front or whatever of godliness, that's how you get to Zalat Hadas.
Correct.
How do you say, so, but Rabbeinu Zalat, before he got there to Israel, he went into godless. He exactly. He's not any godless at all.
No, I'm showing you, then, well, this godless results in a godless, you understand? This going into Gaius is to get your Chachma subtracted. He did it. He actually subtracted the other. Through a different simple sefer, he went into a katnas. You know, he lowered himself to such a super low level so as to be able to generate a kalim that would be able to contain the incredible light that he would get when he would come to Eretz Yisrael. Period. Baruch Hashem. Now, this Torah is very, very significant for a person because, again, this is a super Eitzah Torah that you have to know to be able to use for yourself whenever it's necessary, number one. And again, on the Mitzvah Hasheni, he's showing you how severe is the penalty, Chas V'Shalom, of regular Gaiva in any way. Rav Nachman Shigurinzal explains that with this Torah we can understand a little bit of a remez in what the Gemara over there is saying in Saita when the Gemara says that Talmud Chacham has to have Shmini Shebishminis. The number Shmina in the Spheroids. What sphere does that refer to? The number 8 in sphere. Oh, always! 8 is Bina, the 8th level, Olam Haba. You should know, for starters, we're coming to Bina soon, we're coming to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the Bechina of Bina, right? Just a second. There's many proofs to show how Yom Kippur is an inyan of being Olavava Yavin Vishav Varafa, the whole inyan of Tshuva, which is Yom Kippur, many, many other things to show how Yom Kippur is an inyan of Bina. Yom Kippur, what do? We fast. Yom Kippur is an inyan of fasting. We act like malachim, no eating. The Gemara says there that a Talmud Chacham has to have gaiva, nebechina of shmini shebeshminis. This Bechina, where his Gaiva, which is actually an Anova, it's a fantastic level of Anova, which is qualified in this way. This is a qualifier to his Anova. The Gemara says there has to have this Shmini Shebishminis. Why? Because Rabbeinu Zal says here that he has to have this aspect of Gaiva, but yet Rabbeinu Zal says that this takes, just a second, the wording here Rabbeinu Zal uses, Achlozeh Tzorech Chachma Yesera. Yesera means more. Shmini is Bina. Shmini Shebishminis is Bina Shebebina. It's a Chachma Yesera. In other words, this requires a very, very high level of Chachma for a Talmud Chacham to be able to know what level of Gaiva he's permitted to have that will result in this manner of Shmini Shebishminis, this Bechin of Tainus, Olam Haba. Shmini symbolizes Olam Haba. Everything in this world is restricted by the number 7. 7 days in the week, 7 years in the Shemitah, all of these things. The 8th level is Olam Haba, Tainus, this level of purity. This is what a Talmud Chacham has to have. Now, there the Gemara is recommending the amount of Geis that he's supposed to have. What amount is that? Rabbi Nizal explained it in this Torah. A Bechin of Ayig Baliboy, which serves as a Tainus, which requires Chachma Yesera. Chachma Yesera. Another word for Chachma Yesera is Shmini Shebishminis. Eighth of eight. Bina Shebebina. That kind of level. If I don't know if everybody understands this. According to what your hasog is in this, you'll understand what I'm saying. If not, take it at that period, which I say. No, I don't think I can make it clearer, but it's a connection between these two items, a clear connection between this Torah as an interpretation of that statement in the Gemara. Baruch Hashem.
Because Tainus, we see that Rabbi Tzvi did this, but how, like, what is the meaning of Tainus?
Aha, for that there's a term of the Gemara that we had earlier, where Rabbi Nizal explains what Tainus does. Rabbi Nizal there went into the whole thing of explaining how a Tainus works. How by taking a Tainus, how Tainus is related to Tshuva. Because in a Tainus, what happens, what's Tshuva? Tshuva is that I went for 10 years of my life, I spent all of those days committing sins, doing things wrong or not doing the right thing. Those days are empty days. They're void of Kedusha. What's considered a day in a normal person's life? A day, it's Ruchni, the way it's supposed to be. Ruchni and Gashmi. The biggest tzaddik can't spend a day, at least not for a couple of days, without any eating at all. Not more than 7 days, that's the maximum. Right? So a day is a combination of Gashmi, and Ruchni is eating and sleeping, and doing mitzvahs, nice and clean. So let's say on a day that I am religious, I eat and sleep, and I do mitzvahs and nice and clean. That's considered a total day. What if I take away the eating and sleeping, and I still do mitzvahs and nice and clean? In other words, what if I take away the eating and I do mitzvahs and nice and clean? Where am I drawing the physical kayach that's needed to be able to do the mitzvahs? I'm drawing from yesterday. I'm drawing from the last time that I did eat.
So Rabbi Nachman says this brings about a tikkun, and fast and brings about a tikkun to all the previous days that the person spent in Avodas Hashem, because during the fast, it's not the fast alone. Agro de Taneisa Tzidkosa, it's the mitzvah, it's the tshuva that a person does on the day of the Tainus that makes the whole chashivas of the Tainus. So if a person is zeicha to conduct himself this way, to have these Taneisim, and to keep drawing, to keep taking those old days in which he ate and slept and didn't do it, it's nice and tikkun, and he keeps applying them towards his new avoda. In that manner, he corrects his whole previous life. He's misaching a part of his life that was dark. You understand? And that's how time works. Then as I said, Rabbi Zera fasted in order to be able to fill his chachma, because fasting is a concept of clearing yourself out, cleaning out the gashmias, cleaning out between gashmias and ruchnias. What's he doing? He's on a certain level of hasoga, he wants to get to a higher level of hasoga, right? His current hasoga, compared to the new hasoga he's trying to achieve, is a bechin of Gashmias compared to Ruchnias. By his subtracting from the Gashmias and showing that he's willing to sacrifice, that sacrifice to Achil and Shia, that was the preparation that served to help him to be able to get to this new Hasav.
There's two things in order to reach this Hasav. You have to, the Hasav on one hand, you have to have more Nava, you have to have an increase of Anivas.
No. Where does he say that? You have to have a clearing out of Chachma, in a sense. You have to clear your head to take on the new Hasava. That clearing is done via a Bechina of Gadlas, a Bechina of Gavhus. You understand? Okay.
So a person has prior to Gaiva, like, thinks about the mitzvahs he did, that's not really Gaiva, is it?
The answer is, even in that, he's warning here to a very limited extent. Very limited. Not that we would call it Gaiva, but we would call it more a Bechin of Hischaskos. In other words, he doesn't minimize, he doesn't take his own mitzvahs and his own learning and say it's nothing. My learning is nothing. Why? Because I'm not like the big tzaddikim. Believe me, I believe in the Shleima that even though I'm so low, because I'm low, because I'm dumber and everything, when I do a mitzvah, it makes a bigger impression on Hashem than if a tzaddik, a big tzaddik does. Imagine if somebody like me goes ahead and sits down to learn, it's a big deal already. If a regular guy is learning his whole life and everything, doing mitzvah, he's a big tzaddik. If he does a mitzvah, all right, that's what he's doing the whole time. If I do a mitzvah, that's a big chiddush.
Well, I just want to know if you can pinpoint more or clarify what, you know, between Aliva is just feeling good about your mitzvahs.
Exactly. In other words, a feeling of picking oneself up. Literally, that's all trans. In other words, no.
Right. Because he's saying, like, you know, when you want to go to another level, you have this. There's no range, I'll say, a person's always supposed to feel that way.
Correct.
Right.
So, again, do we know when we're going to another level? How often is a person supposed to be going to another level? Every second of his life. He's climbing, he's trying to climb. You should know that whenever you want to climb, there has to be this Histalkus Hadas. And in order for there to be Histalkus Hadas, one of the ingredients, one of the ways of doing it, is through Gaiva. A Bechina of Gaiva. So you have the wrong kind of Gaiva, you're going to take away your Das forever, Chas V'Shalom. But you do it this right way, you're going to see that that's going to result in the type of Histalkus Hadas that's needed to get to the next level.
So what is the right and what is the wrong? Is it your Chachmah Yisrael?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do you get Chachmah Yisrael? Tefillah. How do you get to Chachmah through Tefillah? That's the key, or those two things go together. First, I have to beg Hashem, the Sakhnein, to be Eitzah Tevah. Show me how to conduct myself. I was given an Eitzah here. The Eitzah itself, I can choke on. Show me how to follow this Eitzah through properly. A doctor gives you medicine, a doctor prescribes pills for something. Guy goes home and says, I'm going to get extra credit, and finishes the whole pill, the whole bottle of pills in 1 second. I'm going to blow out this sickness in 30 seconds, and he blows out his life and his kids and gone. That's the Nimshal. An Eitzah itself requires, Rav Nosson's on the Kutei Tefillah, so you look a lot of places, he says, Hashem, after I got the Eitzah already, I'm still in a position where I need tremendous Siyata Dishmaya, because the Eitzah itself is super hard to fulfill. Therefore, what's the only Eitzah, the all-encompassing Eitzah? Tefillah. Tefillah. Hashem, the Torah is Tariag Yitin. Show me how to use those Eitzahs properly to help myself. Baruch Hashem. But you can understand that this Torah is obviously, he's giving you the knowledge that you need to be able to know how to climb from one level to the next level. This isn't a joke. This is tremendous information. You should be zeichah to use it the right way. Torah Resh Mem Zayin. Rabbeinu Zal says, Iso b'Zayir HaKadosh, it is written in the Zayir HaKadosh, Sheteiku Hanemar B'Shas, Hu Bechinas Mechusar Tikum. That the word Teiku, that's written in Shas, in the Gemara many times, represents something that's missing Tikum. It's incomplete. That's the best way to describe it. Incomplete. Dehainu, Shenechsar Hanun Shel Tikum, Venaseteku. The Zohar HaKadosh explains there that one of the interpretations of this word teku means when we say an item is bishleimus, shalei means misukan. Another word in Hebrew for shalei means misukan. So complete. Complete. Incomplete. Take the word tikun, make it incomplete. What letter completes the word tikun? A nun pshuta, an endanun. You want to make that word tikun incomplete? Take off the endanun. That's the word teku. Teku means incomplete. Now note, I'm just thinking about this now. Note, you have to be medayik. You listen to Rabbi Zal Shuram, you have to listen carefully. Anybody recall anything that would tie into this, let's say? Teku means sofek. That's what it is, basically. In other words, usually you have a kashi, you get a teretz, you get something to answer it. When you don't have the answer, you're in a state of sofek. That's this mechusar tikun, everything. Correct? Period. Who is sofek? Amalek. What's unique about Hamalek that Rabbi Zal mentioned recently in Halacha Shirim? Exactly. That his parsha is Kotua. Rav Nosson Zal asks in the Kotei Halacha, why is it that if you look throughout the entire, I'm not saying any chidush, we're talking pshat here, nothing fancy, to understand something. Rav Nosson Zal asks in the Kotei Halacha, you have a Gemara in Megillah, which we learned, that generally, Kriya Satoira, you're not allowed to give a person less than 3 psukim in Tanaim. That's number one. In other words, when you quote somebody to the Torah, you must read a minimum of 3 psukim. And generally we say that within a total reading, you should not go below 10 psukim. So actually there's one extra pasuk thrown in somewhere. You should try to keep it to 10 psukim. Ein kiddusha pachos miyud. There's many reasons everything. There's one laning in the entire year, which is 9 psukim. We don't fill up to 10. Mechusar tikun. Which laning is that? The laning of Amalek. Why? Because Moses also says in Kutei Halachos, I think he quotes one of the Mefarshim, that one of the Rishonim or Achronim, that because Amalek tried to cut Bnei Israel, his parsha is katua, cut off, missing, incomplete. That word incomplete. Here you see, Rabbeinu Zal is saying what this word teiku means. Teiku is a bechina sofek. It's a bechina we're left in doubt. We don't have a vados, a clear answer. That's the spachin of katua, cut off, chopped off. The nun is chopped off. Rabbeinu Zal says, Veda, and you should know, Shezois hanun pshuto, you should know that this end of nun that's found at the end of the word tikun, kishenech seres meha tikun, when it's removed, subtracted from the word tikun, venase bechinas teku, and there is generated a bechin of teku kanal, azai, kunishpeles, venechfefes, venase mize bechinas kinos. Shehu Isi is tikun. Generally, Einstein so-and-so, Putz, his theory is that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Correct? It's only transferred from one state to the other. Lahaftal and Kedusha, you have the same thing. You can't destroy Kedusha. You can't destroy it completely. No way, nobody can do that. You can alter its form, you can change it. You can take this nun, if you want to be play game in it, how you play game in it, you can alter it. You can take from nun pshuto and make from it nun kfufa, bent over, humbled it. You took this nun, which was the whole symbol of glory, success, standing up tall in victory, and you're machnia it. You make it kfuf, bent over, humbled. If you recall, you have the case of Avraham Avinu, or Yehoshua. The Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Yehoshua, he took his name Hoshea, made it Yehoshua. Was Moshe Rabbeinu, was he able to create something new in Kedusha? No way. Hashem created the world, Bria Salim, nobody can create brand new. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Where did he take that wood from? He took from the hay of Sarah, and from the hay of, and from the hay of, you're sorry, the yud of Sarah. Exactly, she was replaced with the hay. Took the yud of Sarah, and there, and that, he with the yud of Sarah, which was taken away and replaced by a hay, he took that yud, that was the yud he was able to use for Yehoshua. He told the yud, now, there you are at the end, now we're going to put you at the beginning. Even the Mefarshim goes so far as to say that the kasha is, okay, that's how he got the yud. How did he get the nekudas for the yud? Yehoshua, where did that Shiva come from? That's why he's known as Yehoshua bin Nun, the Arizal says. What's bin? Where do you ever find any bin? The Arizal says his name was originally Hoshea ben Nun. In order to make it Yehoshua, in order to provide for the Nekuda that's under the yod, the Yehoshua, the ben, that had to be altered, took out two dots from there, put it under the yod, and it becomes Yehoshua bin Nun. That's the insight as to how that happens. So you see that Kedusha can be altered. You can't destroy it completely. So here, if the tikkun is pogum, what happens? It becomes kinois. The letter, the nun pshuta, becomes nun kufa, it becomes kinois, chas v'shon. Shehu isios tikkun, which is the same letters as the word tikkun, just a variation of it. Rak shehanun nichpefes kanal, it's just that the nun is kufuf, bent over. Hashem yigaleinu, may Hashem rescue us. V'yishapchu hakinois l'tikkun, and let us be zoicha that the kinois should be converted to tikkun. And the teku should become totally mesukon. Through whom? Through Eliyahu Hanavi, who is heralding the coming of Mashiach, this heightening of the das, this shlemos, this completion of this chisorim, the total eradication of Amalek, Sofek, Mechias Amalek Legamri, that's when we'll have this item b'shlemos. Mechias Amalek, who is the Sofek, who is this whole thing. Anybody home? Anybody recall a shir that Rabbi Zal once said? That again zeroes in on this Torah spectacularly. Rabbi Zal once said a shir on Purim. He was talking about the Yom Tov of Purim. Mordechai versus Haman. And Rabbi Zal quoted one of these Sifrei Kabbalah, how they translate the fabulous Ur that's found in those Sforim. You have the Gemara says in Brachas that David HaMelech, when he was misaking the Tefillah of Ashrei, the Ruach HaKodesh, he left out the letter Nun in Ashrei. He left out a pasuk, the Ashrei goes in alphabetical sequence. One letter we left out was Nun. Why? Because Nun represents Nefilah Chas V'Shalom, destruction for the Yidden Chas V'Shalom. That's why he left it out. But he didn't leave it out completely. Note, you can't subtract completely. He included it within the next pasuk, Soimech Hashem L'chol HaNoiflum. Soimech Hashem L'chol HaNoiflum. Rabbi Zal gave a spectacular. Does it bring any memories? Nobody home. Everybody forgot. Everybody's Isaac in the previous era. They're in the state of Shikha. Okay. Exactly. That 50 is Tomei, a Bechina of Tomei. Six bottle Beshishin. The number 60 is an enemy of Tahara. You get a Tomei item. It falls into 60 times as much kedusha, it becomes mesukon. Here you see a proof for it. Nun is a tamei letter, a bechin of tamei. It symbolizes nefila. So what's the tikkun for it? Samech Hashem l'chol ha'naflim. Samech l'chol ha'naflim is the pasuk that relates to samach. Note what's the first word? Samech. Samech is samach. The word samach, the milui. Samech Hashem l'chol ha'naflim. Samach is the tikkun for nun. Samach is the tikkun for Nun.
Why is 50 come just because it's not 60?
Because it's Nefila. Nun, why did he leave out the letter Nun? Nun stands for a bad thing, Nefila, everything. This is why when Haman Harosha wanted to smash Mordechai, what did he do? He built an Eitz Gavoya Chamishim Amor. He wanted to use his power of the Nun. His power, the Nun, he has a Bechina of a Nun also. This Nun that he was latched onto, that he was Machaser from Tikkun, this Nun Kfufa, he wanted to set up a tree on which to hang Mordechai. What was the Tikkun for this? Let's see, what was the Tikkun for this? Let's analyze the Hebrew alphabet a little bit. Yud is the 10th letter in the alphabet. Kuf is 11. Lamed is 12. Mem is 13. Nun is 14. Nun is the 14th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. This is why Haman was so happy that he wanted to build an Eitz Goreya Chamishim Amor, and on this day specifically, on the day of Purim, the 14th day of Adar, he was hoping that he was going to subterfuge, knock out completely the koyach of Mordechai Hatzad, the koyach of Klal Yisrael and everything. This was when he was going to take advantage, the 14th letter of the alphabet. How was the Nakama taken over him? Via the Samach. How via the Samach? Do you remember, Zev? How via the Samach, the 15th letter of the alphabet? I don't, unfortunately.
I think he,
things because he hanged them up.
He hung them up on the same tree?
Yeah.
What was the tapes for his son? Haman Neufel al Hamita Sheresta Lehon. I know Neuflin. He's the symbol of this Neuflin. That's why it said at the time, Yaakov Avinu said, Hatzileni no. Miyadochi miyadesov. Kiore amech yosei penyeri taim avonu. Hatzileni no miyadochi. Yad. Yudala, the 14th letter of the alphabet. This Nun, which I know is Esav, Amalek, Haman. Haman was a descendant of Amalek, Haman. Hatzileni no miyadochi miyadesov. Kiore amech yosei penyeri taim avonu. And Hatzileni no miyad. You'll note the remez there. Hatzileni no miyad. The first letters make up the word Haman. Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyadeso. This is what he was doubting to be protected from. I just have to remember how the samach was the ticking for. And not only that, Rabbi Zal gave the shir about six, seven years ago. And after Rabbi Zal's Sistalkas, one Purim, I repeated this whole shir. Not the whole shir, part of it, because I don't remember, at the time people had forgotten. Might even have been written, huh? Might be written down. You remember it vaguely, possibly. It would be around Purim time, we just have to check. We have two. What was these for a second? Case Ko, Melchoma Hashem Amalek Midor Dor. Ki Yod, Yudalid, Al Case Ko, Melchoma Hashem Amalek. Because the Yudalid, the 14th letter of the alphabet, the Nun, Al Case Ko, now is trying to be Goyver, in a sense, over the Yud He, over the Ko, the 15th letter of the alphabet. That's this whole symbol of the Melchom Hashem Bamolek. That's this whole battle against Amolek. Just a second. Let's see if this is the place we're going. Yeah. The word Tomei we see is Beginatria 50. This Homon, Amolek, the symbol of Tumah, the word Tomei itself is Beginatria 50, which is Botel B'Shishim. We see, in other words, how do we know that Tumah is Botel B'Shishim? Dovra Melech was Morames to this whole concept of a Dovra Tomei being Botel B'Shishim through this Seimech Hashem L'chol Neiflim. What would be the tikkun for the Nun, the Tomei, the Nefila? Seimech Hashem L'chol Neiflim. The Samach would be Goyver over it if you had these 60 times as much. That could be Mavatal Vitumah. But still, I'm not, in other words, I'm missing the punchline. There was a punch to it, the final blast that showed this Mordechai over Haman.
How did you, I thought the name was a letter of Kedusha to make it a Tribuna.
It's both. Here's what you see in this title, that it's both. You understand? You have the Nun of Tikkun, you have the Nun of Kinas. A Nun Pshuka and a Nun Kufa. But most of the Kutta Allah is on this title. Is a whole shir that's the distinction between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Bina, a Bina of Kedusha. Yom Kippur, we don't wear shoes, correct? Because we're on such a high level of Bina, that's the Nun of Kedusha, this upper Nun. Tisha B'Av is this Nun Kfufa, Kinois. Kinois. We go to the lowest level. There we have also this Mabito of the Shoes. That's one, I'm just touching on one item. Now about this, we have something spectacular to look forward to, because Rav Nachman Burstein, when we are on Eretz Yisrael, about 10-15 minutes of his fuselage, of his fuselage, that's what it's called,
fuselage,
bombardment of artillery, was on this turn of the Kutaman. He gave a whole blast. Further clarifying this Torah Likutei Moreh Mitzvah Hashem, which we're going to have probably Shabbos Shuvah, probably this is going. That's what we're going to get up to this topic, which is going to be the next Shabbos year. This coming Shabbos year is Rosh Hashanah. The next Shabbos year probably is going to be expanding this Torah tremendously. It's going to be as far as into Rav Enzal's name begins with Imachim, begins with a Nun Kofuf. Person coming to Rav Enzal comes in as Nun Kfufa, goes out as Nun Pshuta. Rav Nosson Zal begins Nun Pshuta, goes out, begins Nun Kfufa, goes out Nun Pshuta. That's just an introduction. We're going to have a whole lot of action on this censorship.
All of it's like that, there will be a Masseh.
Exactly. It's always Zeru Masseh. We had it last week, we explained it tremendously. You always have Kiddush and Tumah, equal and opposite forces. Almost equal. Mm-hmm. Baruch Hashem. Okay, let's go. But look, this is what I mean by Rebizal Shirin. This is what I mean by writing down Shirin. If you write it down, you have at least a millionth of a chance that when you're going to learn these Svarim, which are filled with Elokus, Elokus means infinite, it's Ani b'mokam echad Ashir b'mokam acher. There are things, lights that are supposed to go on. You're supposed to understand certain things. Maven dover mitav dover. Not chidushim, nonsense, sitting with pen and paper figuring out gematrios. You're supposed to understand what the Shirin that Rebizal gave, those limudim that are found in the Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Emes, those are hakdamas. Those are introductions into Torah. You learn those things. That's one of those items is supposed to open up your eyes to 50 places in the Torah. As Rav Nachman Shirin Zal, Rav Nissim Zal, they take one turn of the Gemara Ramban and explode it, shed light on 50 different things in the Torah. A person who understands, you can do that with any item that you learn. Apply it right. Once you learn something about Haman, the letter Nun, now you're going to know wherever you look in the Torah about that letter Nun, you have to understand how it relates to this other item that you learn. Rabbi Nezal says in Torah Aleph that this item we have in Torah Shem Vav about the godless before the katnus. The first time we look at them on, but there's Chachma and Malchus. And before you can get to the Eir HaShemesh, the Eir HaShemesh is too bright, you must precede it by the Eir of the Levana, the Malchus. The Malchus. Excuse me? Lifnei Shemesh, Yinon Shemai, the Nun. You know, this whole concept of the Nun, I'm not referring to this term now, I'm referring to the Torah before. This concept of the Choshech before the Or, the forgetting, the clearing of the registers before you accept the Or.
Well, this is kind of the other case, Kalam, this is something that should really be case, Kahal, I think.
Kisei. Right, right. But I don't think that tied into this. Belina, that I definitely have this shiur written up in my notes, and it's not that I don't know where it is. In my packet of notes, it's there. We'll just have to find it. I'm going to look for it now. Maybe, while we're davening Marv, maybe, in the end, you know, in those few minutes, I'll rifle through fast. I'll find it. Belina, that. Okay, let's go. Rabbi Nezal says, Da, you should know, Shesipur, Teresh Memches, Da, you should know, Shesipur, Emaisis, Mitzadikim, Hu Dovor, Godol, Ma'oid, that telling over and listening to the stories of tzaddikim is a very, very great item. Ki al yedei sipurim mitzaddikim, because through stories of tzaddikim, nis oirer v'nislaiv halev b'his oirerus godoy l'Hashem yisborach b'cheshek nimratz ma'oid. The wording here is just incredible. You can't say anything more, because through telling over stories of tzaddikim, through listening to stories of tzaddikim, a person's heart becomes aroused and inflamed in a tremendous awakening to Hashem with an incredible yearning, cheshik ma'oid, very incredible yearning to Hashem. You picture a person now goes and has a spot to Hashem and says, Hashem, Rabbi Nezal wrote in his sefer that by listening or telling over stories of tzaddikim, this is what he said, that nisoyer of nislam, Hashem, I was zeicha to hear some stories about tzaddikim, let me be zeicha that it should affect me in the exact manner that he describes here. I should be zeicha to see within myself that there should be nisoyer of nislam, halev, the nisoyer is godlash, and nisporah, b'cheshik, nimratz, ma'oyit. You know, imagine what he's saying here. Rabbi Nezal says, Ki horishimu she'oso oisei tzadik she'mesaprim imenu al yedei avedos yis Hashem yisporach, because the mark, or the imprint that tzadik made through his avoda, this tzadik that you're talking about, Zois horishimu nis'oireres be'eis she'mesaprim eha tzadik. Rabbi Nezal says, you should know a fact. The fact is that whenever a person tells over a story about a tzaddik, he tells over something about the greatness of a tzaddik, what happens is that automatically there is aroused, there is nis'irer. Whatever that tzaddik accomplished in life, suddenly it gets stirred up, it gets shaken up, and when that gets shaken up, there's explosions that go off in Shemayim, there's heat generated. That heat goes into that person's own heart. Rabbi Nezal says, and this can arouse a person in coming close to Hashem tremendously, to a tremendous level. This is how much Rabbeinu Zal emphasizes. Note, you get the biggest misnagot. How does the Torah of Hashem begin? How does the Torah begin? Chumash Bereshis is Sipurei Maaseis Mitzadikim. You can't get away from that. Exactly. That's besides that. But in other words, Bereshis is telling about this. I'm saying this Chumash Bereshis is stories about tzaddikim. Oda Morishen, Noyachat Tzaddik. Stories, pshitis. It's not Sherish and Odach. It's Sipurei Maaseis Mitzadikim. That's the beginning of the Torah. That's the hardest part of the Torah. That's the part that's intended to arouse you, to start you off, to give you a boost, a supercharge, and coming close to Hashem is the stories. The Iker, the meat and potatoes of the Torah, is the Gemara, the Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Basra. That's the meat and potatoes, no question. But sometimes you can't get to it unless you get charged up. The Gemara says the Tzadikim, Rav Yehuda Silva, the other, the Tanuim, when they would start a shiur, they'd start off with a joke. They'd make a joke, the Talmidim would crack up and laugh and get into a lively mood. They'd wake them up that way and then go shooting into the Torah, you know, Ba'amkos. First the charge and then the meat and potatoes, which is definitely the most important part. Here also, you look in the Chumash, the Sefer Chumash, the Chumash Chumshei Torah, that's how it begins. It begins with Sipurei Maaseis Mitzadikim, which is so great and it has the power to arouse a person to his Eirus, Godel, Cheshek, Nimrod, Smali, Shem should help us be Zeicher, that we should tell. To tell over and to listen constantly to stories of tzaddikim in these generations and past generations, and be zeicher to receive the full effect of what it's supposed to do to our neshama.
Why is it in some yeshivas that they start
Vayikra? The first halacha nikutei halacha is from Moshe Zal addresses that. That's baloney. That's when they start learning Chumash inside, they begin from Vayikra, and there's a reason for that. The first halacha, the Kutei Halacha, Rav Moshe Zal explains a remez to that. Why? But you can't deny. Ask his son what he started learning. Ask your own kids what they started learning when you're going to. First thing they tell them is stories about Tzadikim. Before they get to Vayikra, before they can read Ivra, what do they tell them in school? Stories about Tzadikim. Right? No question about Avraham and Sarah. Isn't that so? When they start technically learning Chumash inside, it's Vayikra. Why? Rav Moshe Zal explains that in Nekudei Halachos. First time Rachamim Nekudei Halachos. Okay. Baruch Hashem. Try for one more. This is before Rosh Hashanah, and this Torah applies a little bit to Rosh Hashanah. Not a little bit, a lot. Rabbi Nizal says, Torah Reish Mem Tes, Ikara Hagvura Balev. You should know that the main strength of a person is in the person's heart. Kimi sheliboy chazak, a person whose heart is solid, is strong. Ve'enoy misyorei mishum adam mishum davar. And he's not afraid in his heart. He's not afraid of any person or of any item. Yochoy lasos gevurois meirois. That person is capable of doing tremendously strong items. Velichboish hamelchamais, and to conquer all the wars that he has to conquer. Al yedei chayzik v'toikef liboy, through the strength and power. Toikef. The word toikef is begematria shofar. Through the toikef, the superpower of his heart. She'enoy misyorei, he's not afraid. Verotz latoich toikef hamelchama, and he runs. He's not afraid. He goes running powerfully into the center of the action. The war is going on. They're really fighting. He jumps right in there with courage, tremendously courageous, in going about the melchama. The Zebachinus, this is what it says in Perkei Avos, Ezehu Gibor. How do we define Gibor? Hakleibesh es Yitzroi, one who takes over. He conquers the Yitzer. Where is the Yitzer? Kiyetzer leiv ha'odam ra min ha'urav. Kiyetzer leiv ha'odam, it's in the heart. Rav Benazal says, v'sebechinas gvurois shimshayin. This is the concept of the strength of shimshayin ha'gibor. Shinemar boi v'aktochel ruach Hashem lefamoi b'machnedon. The Spirit of Hashem came upon him to strengthen him, to publicize him. What's the word? Publicize? Make him famous. Publicize him, Bein Tzoro Ubein Eshtoya, in between the place called Tzoro and the mountain of Tzoro and the place called Eshtoya. Sheba Oysan Hamakoymois Tzolchol of Ruach Hashem. It was in those places that the Ruach of Hashem came upon him, Velovash Gvura, and he cloaked himself in a Gvura. Dahainu, what does it mean? Does it mean his muscles expanded? They became the size of apples or watermelons? What actually happened? Rabbi Nizal says, the Hainu Sheboloi Chizik V'Toikev Gvura Balei. He developed a courage, an incredible, infinite type of courage within his heart. Vaidezeh also Gvura Yisnairois. And through that, he was able to accomplish the tremendous Gvurais that he accomplished. And this is the thought that a person has to take with him into these Yomim Noiroim. We're talking about a Toikev Hamelchama, tremendous. We're going into battle now. The Satan's going to come before Hashem and try to speak against us and everything. But a person has to be mechazek himself. There has to be his chaskus, chayzek, strong, mechazek, lechazek inside, to be courageous to go into the battle with a bechinas simcha, with a vigilu birada, a simcha and a yira, with a confidence that if I try my best, I'm going to succeed. If I try my best to do tshuva baloney, there's no way in the world I'm going to get turned away or I'm going to get knocked down. I'm going to win this bechina of self-confidence, which the Torah advocates, which Rabbeinu Zal stresses. But why we should be zeichet to this gevura shebalev and be zeichet taka to win the nachanes hayetzer and to bring about the coming of Mashiach, to bring about the coming of Mashiach. The next Torah, each Torah is like a whole planet, a whole culture. The next Torah is what I was saying before, where it explains about a person's suffering in this world. Why do people suffer? Why do people suffer? What's the Untish the Shura? That we're going to come to Amir Tashem in a new year. Right. Huh? No, Stam. I wanted to mention an association with Rosh Hashanah. Rebizal mentioned that Shofar, no, it's Tekev Hadin. The Shofar is one that the Tekev Hadin. That's a Chiddush from the Sifrei Gemara. It's not Rebizal's thing. That the singing of Tekev Hadin is the Shofar. It's one